Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
So let's shift a little bit and talk about some of the exciting announcements that you made at Mobile World Congress. And I think I wrote about this. You really just blanketed, you dominated the news cycle. You were every day, you know, not just one announcement, but many. Give us the scoop on the things that you unveiled there.
Sure, and let me walk through it because, and this was quite intentional, there was a set of things that we were talking about. Because what we also want to do is represent, I believe, the full range of activities that are enabling this to happen and how we're, again, building an operating system for digital commerce. So actually, let me back it up a little bit. Before the show, we announced support for a payments enabling capability called HCE, or host card emulation. And I was particularly happy about this one because, Karen, I remember years ago talking about, you know, this whole concept. I think it was a Money 2020 panel we had, right? You know, NFC versus cloud. These are not and have ever been mutually incompatible environments. Well, now we can show technical demonstration of exactly how that comes off. So for me, what you need to do is have secure credentials. That's where our tokenization and MDES come in. And then the question is, what's the secure environment? Not SETM, but what's the secure environment those credentials can be managed? So whether it's an embedded secure element, like we were first in world at lighting up the Samsung devices in Australia, whether it's SIM-based, and we have over 50 projects right now in Europe alone that we are talking about, where we're working with telcos to use the SIM as a way of enabling payments, or now with the KitKat release of Android, we'll have the ability to actually store the credentials remotely. That's where the host card emulation comes in, and use that to be able to, through the connectivity, drive secure transactions off the device. So it really provides, from a network perspective, a hardware abstraction layer where any of the deployment models, embedded, SIM-based, or remote, can be accessed really seamlessly from the device to enable contactless, in-app, or online transactions. And that's really where I think you're seeing this convergence really come together. So as I said earlier, it's like taking the chip off of the card and have different deployment modes of how I can access the same type of keys and cryptologies and credentials digitally. And then also because of the connectivity, have all sorts of other rich things like my shipping information, rewards, offers, loyalty, all incorporated into that transaction. So the first, adding that third leg of deployment for device enablement, the remote secure area, was I think a fundamental announcement we got out there. That was followed by our MasterPass in-app, which builds on this concept of having access to the secure credentials. And that's the ability to access anything stored within the MasterPass container, MasterPass wallet, directly from within your favorite application for that. So Starbucks Australia, Forbes Digital Media, we had a great set of launch partners who are really enthusiastic about tapping into that. But it also means for me, whether I'm planning travel online with, you know, Singapore Airlines, or shopping on my sofa and a tablet with J.Crew, or now, you know, topping up my Starbucks app in-app in Australia, I can access MasterPass in order to do that. We also had a really interesting announcement with a company called Cineverse that some people in the payments industry may not know, but I think this is a really good example about how in the digital sphere, what used to be very disparate domains can come together to create new value for consumers. And that's why I always say this isn't a zero-sum game. It's about new value that we can create. So Cineverse connects over 5 billion consumers for many purposes, but one of the purposes is for tracking roaming. They've always had the cross-telco settlement, so suddenly you can go to any country in the world and know how it settles between those telcos, which also means they have an essential piece of information, where you are. It's how roaming is based on. So, and I assure you, with the appropriate consumer opt-in and information handling, and I won't go into my rant on data hygiene because you know that one, but we're doing the hard work from a network level to allow consumers to request only authorized or scrutinized transactions when my mobile is also where the transaction's coming from. So I could leave New York and go to Barcelona, and suddenly a huge surge of travel and other type of expenses come in. My issuer can know, hey, it's kosher because his phone's there. If I'm still in Manhattan and a huge surge of transactions come in from South Africa, then they can know, I'm going to hold that, I'm going to reach out to you, I'm going to intervene. So it's another great example of how we can take what used to be disparate domains and make the system smarter, have it more of a machine-to-machine ability to do it on behalf of consumers. And it's really adding just yet another factor of authentication or identification we can add to the certainty of the transactions themselves. So I think that resonated really well with people, and there's a lot more that we can do on that. And then the final piece, well, there's a number of other announcements, but the final one I'll touch on is we also announced the acquisition of a company called CSAM, who was absolutely one of the pioneers going back to the late 90s in mobile enablement for transactions. So they've provided software for folks like DNP in Japan or ISIS here in the United States. They've worked with large merchants around the world. And really it was bringing into Mastercard as a shop that extension for on-device deployment capability. So as we say, it's online, on-device. It was a great way of both leveraging the, you know, we thought was the best software frame that was in the industry, an incredibly talented team, some of the foundational IT around mobile wallets and mobile commerce, and bringing that fully into Mastercard. So when you talked about a set of announcements, it really was from enabling technology like HCE, extension of MasterPass in-app for the consumer experience. This industry alliance I thought was incredibly compelling of how we can make the system smarter on behalf of consumers and combining networks and information streams that were never brought together before. And then with CSAM, how we continue to extend the capabilities and capacities that MasterCard can offer to our partners as, you know, we build out digital extensions.
I thought this, the announcement about the device authentication was phenomenal. That makes so much sense. Why wouldn't everyone just do that?
Yeah, and I think it's a good example, and we'll see more and more of this. And this gets back to almost back to where we started, right? It's not about recreating exactly what you could do before on a digital device. It's not about, do you tap it or do you display it? That's edge, right? Whatever's best. We can support all of that. But it's those things you could never do before. So, yeah, for years, I've been part of it. We've been saying, you know, it would be really great if we had a more precise knowledge of where the consumer was when the transaction occurred. And we've done things. We have our Fraud Shield product, which, you know, every MasterCard in a couple of countries, Germany's one of them, you know, tracks whether you're in your home market or your away market and can filter transactions based on it or send alerts to consumers. But you're still engaging the consumer around that. By knowing where you are, I can actually say, okay, that's a strong enough certainty that you're actually there, that I don't have to bother you and I can let the transactions flow impeded, or I can have a much stronger signal that something might be wrong here because I get a physical present transaction and your mobile's not there. Maybe you left it at home. When I go to China, I never bring my mobile because I'm not allowed to, right? So it's a good way of, as I said, creating new value by bringing together elements which were always in traditionally different domains, built to solve a certain problem. How do I do cross-carrier billing for mobile roaming? To our problem, which is how do I know where you are in order to make sure that those transactions are valid? And I'm very excited. I think that's capturing what's exciting about, truly exciting about the digital convergence we're seeing.
So there is the opportunity to create all of this new value for so many different stakeholders in the ecosystem. That suggests that there may be new ways to monetize that value that provide us with the chance to consider new business models. What's your thinking with respect to that conversation?
I think that is foundational. And I think too often, and I don't know why, this marketplace has been treated as sort of a zero-sum game, right? Who gets what slice of a very limited pool? And that's almost getting back to the mistaken thought of how do I precisely recreate everything that's gone before in a new environment, right? I actually think it's the opportunities for better merchandising, the opportunities for more secure transactions, the opportunities for deeper consumer engagement. I think that's the value that really needs to be monetized, and I think that's how we truly pay off the promise of what's here. So you can dramatically reduce your servicing costs. You can dramatically reduce churn, and God knows what churn means to every business we're involved with. You can get much higher consumer satisfaction through engaging with them in this channel. And I think those are the elements and those are the value drivers that the focus needs to be on. And I think, you know, nobly and humbly, you know, there is a moment of truth where the merchant says, this is the obligation. The consumer says, I accept that obligation. And everything that has to happen to auth, clear, settle, and make all of this, you know, nobly and humbly, we see that as a big part of what we can provide into this. But, you know, I always say, I said it earlier, you know, we see ourselves as a platform for people to build great businesses on top of. And that's where that value is going to be derived. And we look at business models being reimagined like what's happening in the taxi industry.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's what enables it. I think what people sometimes gloss over, everything that became e-commerce was really enabled by the access to the payment systems. But the value that was derived of it from an Amazon to an iTunes and everything else was all of the great consumer value that was built on top of it. And that's what we're trying to encourage. That's the whole purpose behind the Open API program. So what we're trying to do with MasterPass and MasterPass in-app is to provide those capabilities for that value to be generated.
I think that's a great point because a lot of these apps without the ability to embed payment wouldn't really create the convenience and the shortcuts that you talked about earlier. Okay. I don't need an app to help me identify where a cab is. I can walk around the street and do that myself. I need to be able to get one and then be able to get in and not have to worry about paying for it.
Right, and have it come. And if you think about it from the merchant side, if I'm going to go over to get you, I want to be pretty sure you're good for it.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
So it also pays out the other side of the equation too.
So final question.
Sure.
As we reflect on this conversation. So let's fast forward. It's 10 years from today.
Okay.
We're having the same conversation. I'm actually joining you from a beach somewhere because I will have recognized that March in Boston is pretty crummy. It will take me the next 10 years to figure that out, though.
Right.
Where will we be? Where will the state of mobile commerce be? What will have changed? And what role will MasterCard have played in actually getting us through that change?
Actually, I flashed on in 10 years from now. You know, where my children are going to be, and that also was a scary prospect. You know, one of the things, it's kind of funny to say 10 years from now, we were looking at, and I'm getting the actual date on it, is it was over 20 years ago that we did our first e-commerce transaction through the network. Right? It was 93-ish that we did it, and we were working with SET and all the other standards that were in place. And over those last two decades, we've really seen that promise come to the fore. We're now e-commerce is about, 8% of overall retail. Mm-hmm. I think if you fast forward 10 years, it